Underground Espionage episode 10. How is it going, Tara?
Well, thank you for asking, Mike. It is much better. I have been a bit sick this week, so I apologize if there's a little coughing that happens here, but I think if you know me, then you're probably used to it at this
point.
Used
to it. It is the case many times.
Yeah.
But
what a wild week of me trying new like health tinctures. It's been quite a journey. Right now I'm having elderberry ginger juice with prebiotic fiber. It's great.
I mean, you gotta try to just shove as much.
You just throw as much at it as you can possibly find. Like anything I can think of, I've been doing. And I would say the wildest one that I do not recommend. I don't know if I think my journey with collagen powder has been cut out of previous episodes, but I've been consuming it. It's fantastic. But if you mix the like vitamin C powder with collagen, it's kind of like those experiments that you do as a kid with like making volcanoes,
sure.
The alleged volcanoes where you put vinegar and baking soda together. Yeah. That's what happens when you mix those two together. That was fun. So I enjoyed that ride.
Been a wild week. Well, we are a little late today, but we wanted to do this episode after the announcement of Hospital Fest.
Absolutely.
New York City, October 11th. We wanted to make sure to talk about it here at the top because obviously we will be there. We're very, very excited.
Everybody, New York in the fall is the best.
New York in the fall,
wait.
October, perfect time for everyone to be in New York. We'll be there. We'll all be there.
Mm-hmm.
So excited. Everyone's freaking out, of course, about Kickback being announced. We were jamming some last night.
Oh, my God, it was fantastic.
It's going to be great. Of course, Vatican, Genocide Organ, Linecraft, and Sex Messiah. So far, the announced bands, I can say that I may or may not have that info about the TBAs, and you can still just be excited about those too.
Those are really,
don't you worry about it.
There are some really exciting TBAs.
Don't you worry
about
it. But yeah, so it is going to be great. Grab your tickets now. I imagine this will sell out like the Japan Fest. So you got 6 months to prepare. Prepare to be in New York. We will be up front. It's going to be great, man.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so pumped. We were just listening to Vatican.
So I'm saying request that time off. Plan for that.
Just do it. There's
save
no,
up your sky miles. Whatever
you
got to do.
I mean, so many of us
car.
All, you know, everyone made it to Japan. But yeah, it's going to be a blast all day. Undisclosed location. I like that. Keeping the mystery. The underground mystery.
It's absolute underground.
We will all be partaking in that underground espionage when we get that info sorted out.
Unused subway tunnel.
Yeah, it's actually going to be in like under Grand Central Station.
Yeah,
in a secret little section that no one has seen in 100 years. No.
Yeah, it's gonna look like Neubauten performance. It's gonna be great.
Yeah, like
just
in
concrete
the,
high ceilings.
In
yeah.
The, cylinder thing or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
No, it's gonna be great. We can't wait. So make sure we wanted to just post this after, and then we're like, let's just record after so we can talk about it, be psyched.
And in case we accidentally mentioned it, we're not, you know, blowing anything open.
You know it, and you know, excited to talk about our feature porn film today, Neon Nights, a classic. Something we have talked about in the past on our other series, but wanted to do a full episode focused on.
Yeah, it was just like a vague reference.
So really excited for everything that's going on. Yeah, we were jamming Vatican, Persian Pillars of the Gasoline Era. I can't believe it was 5 years ago
because
I was like looking for it. I mean, we have the LP, but you know, sometimes it's just, you know, throw it on that digital. And I was going through it. I'm like, where is it? And I was like, in my mind, you know, time is so weird.
Yeah, you're scrolling.
I'm like,
and scrolling.
Wasn't it like 2 years ago? Like, no, 5 years ago.
That's
wow,
insane.
Crazy. Yeah, that sounded amazing.
More innocent times.
Yeah.
No, actually, no. Right in the middle of non-innocent
times. Yeah, you know, I was gonna say.
Right
yeah,
no.
Well, yeah, we generally call
5 years ago.
Pre-2020 the before times. Yeah. No, that was smack dab in the times.
God,
there was not.
Right
yeah. There
right
was
in those
there
times.
Was no. Yeah, this.
Yeah,
that
I
was,
prefer to purchase wine that is in the before times. I find that I like the taste of the innocence about it. So that's my favorite. No, my favorite vintages yeah. are all in the before
time. Smack dab in the future times. But also, you know, we always jam, or a lot of times jam, Moving Secret Money at our DJ night at Surf and Dad mm-hmm. at the Mermaid. And hey, you might hear it this Monday. If you're listening in the LA area, we will be there Monday, 8 p.m. The Mermaid. We're back. We were off January and off March, and I don't like being off. It actually yeah. like sort of I'm
yeah, you
not
lose
like
the flow. Yeah.
I'm not like yeah. give me a break. I don't need a break.
Consistency
I'm not looking
is king
for a break.
Us. Yeah.
So we're back, and as far as I know, we'll be back now every single month, you know, moving forward. So LA area people, come on out Monday, 8 p.m. The Mermaid. Gray is going to make some great drinks. We're going to be playing the tunes. And yeah, probably going to hear Vatican Moving Secret Money.
Yeah, you definitely
I'm just
going to
go ahead and just spoil it. Mm-hmm. Well, Tara, what else you got? What else you got on the mind? Anything important to tell the
well,
people?
Yeah,
anything you've been thinking of?
Yes, there's a thing I've been thinking of, and I've been dying to talk to you about it. And then it just like I feel like you're not going to be interested in it unless I tell you here because you're a more captive audience. And this is like a Tara type of thing.
There's a lot of there's a very singular thing going on in my brain right now.
I know.
Basically, once we're off recording this,
yeah, you won't be thinking about any of this.
Yeah, so you. Yeah, exactly. I mean, but at least in some ways, it's maybe a good time to talk to me because it's like you could just say whatever you want. And I'm just
oh,
like,
otherwise.
Nah.
Yeah, but.
Nah, but I'm but, like, I was okay. Hey,
okay. Well, yeah. Here's the deal. So I witnessed this, like, I got into an internet hole because I was seeing these ladies sound off about whether silk is ethical to wear. And I was like,
oh,
what in the hot hell is this bullshit?
I already got bristled up.
No, I know you have, but that's why I couldn't talk to you unless this is being annoyed. Recorded.
Because
it would annoy you instantly. You'd be like, I'm having none of it. I don't want to hear
anything. I'm
but it's not
feeling
about,
that right
but
now.
But the excitement about it is not about the argument, right? So all of that dumb shit aside, like, yes, it's stupid to argue about whether or not silk is ethical, but I learned a lot about silk moths and silk in trying to figure out what the fuck they were arguing about, right? So, like, there are certain people, I am not one of those people, who just really appreciate natural fibers, right? They're like, I want to wear natural fibers. Like, I am not of that school. I like use, like, thick, durable polyester that will live on when I am long
gone.
You're
wearing a very thick Manowar shirt right now.
Oh, my God. I'm wearing a 3X Manowar shirt.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
With a full print, which is, like, bigger than my body.
Yeah.
And then some lovely hot pink
I'm very
satin
into
biker
your
shorts.
Outfit right now.
So this is that high peak elegance, right? So they're sounding off about whether or not it's ethical to wear silk and participate in silk because most silk is made by boiling the silkworm's cocoons.
Okay, so?
So while the worms are in it, you boil the cocoon, cut the silk off, and then you have it. Exactly.
Cool.
So the argument, though, that was going back and forth is like, you know, one, I was surprised. I was like, why are you killing all these caterpillars? Like, people give a shit about killing caterpillars, right? Yeah. If I throw a caterpillar, most people will freak, right? So then, but the argument was there's silk where the caterpillars are allowed, it's more expensive, are allowed to exit the cocoon. And they're like, well, if you search for this certain type of ethical silk, then it's fine. But then the people are like, well, who cares? Because when a silkworm becomes a moth, like Luna moth is actually one of the silkworm moths. When it becomes a moth, they lack mouth parts and they can't consume food or water and they can't eat. So essentially, once they become moths, they just starve to death after that. Did you know this? And so everybody's saying, like, why is it unethical? Because the caterpillar phase is the longest phase. And then while they're in the cocoon, that's a long phase. And then once they're moths, they essentially just die really fast in a matter of days because they starve to death. So, like, what do you even care if we boil these larvae? The most of their lives are done. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, why do we need these moths to exist? They can't do shit. All they do is basically reproduce, breed. But how insane is it that, like, think about that process. I guess that I never considered that. Okay, so the argument, again, I lost total interest. Who cares what these people are arguing
you
about.
You lost interest.
Oh, my God, already. But but I gained a new interest in the idea of, like, because it's kind of like, you know, Mothra dying and then the larva being born.
Oh,
you
now I mean? My interest now is back. Interest You're talking about back. Mothra. Yeah. I'm back. I'm back.
And then,
we're talking
you know,
Mothra,
like, slowly fading out so that the pupa can,
now
you know,
I'm,
have their
now
power.
Now you got my attention.
But it's just such a wild thought that something would go through their entire life beefing up on food because it won't be able to eat later.
You gotta, it's, I guess, you know, you
it's
gotta,
like, it's like, what is
it's
that?
It's like us when we go to a show and we go out.
We
for
know
the
we're
night.
Gonna be drinking, so we have
we're
to
worried.
Eat as
we're like,
much
eat.
Food as possible.
What if there's gonna be no food?
What if there, but sometimes there isn't any food, especially if it's a long show and I'm like trying to figure out ways to hide meat sticks in my purse and put little snacks in there. But the moth doesn't even have that option. It, like, goes through this whole metamorphosis,
can't
eats everything,
go,
goes into a cocoon, and is born no fucking mouth.
Can't go to Family Mart and get those ham and cheese buns.
No, no ham and cheesies. But, like, what a crazy, they don't eat or drink. Like, they're just
I mean,
nothing
no,
in their
I mean,
face.
I did not know that. I did.
No, I didn't know that either. I just think it's, like, an insane, and then their entire life cycle is, like, 42 to 56 days. Like, we're talking quick.
It's
but,
yeah.
But the real short part of it, like, you're just, like, gearing up, and, like, you're a little moth, and you do your cocoon, and it's, like, it's all going to be worth it, and then you become a butterfly. Essentially, all you do is, like, you know, fertilize the eggs and lay them. You're just, like, a fuck machine.
Hey.
Not even eating, not even drinking.
See? You got to frame it this way. Talk about Mothra, talk about fuck machines.
I know. But anyway, I just thought that was incredibly interesting. And, again, I've come nowhere in this, like, you know, argument of whether it's silk and, like, ooh, who cares, like, in the grand geez. Scheme of things. Like, seriously. Yeah. I mean, I feel for them all. I feel for every insect, animal. We all fucking die.
It's,
you know what
you
I mean?
Know what?
All
it's
of us.
Going to...
All of us. Every bug, every caterpillar, every butterfly, you know. I mean, I guess. But they don't even actually get to fuck. They just kind of fertilize each other, so.
We won't die before we get to New York in October. Mm-mm. We won't die before we get to talk about Neon Nights. We won't die before we have many more episodes over here on Underground Espionage for you. Very, very excited. We've been
Cross
talking about a lot of different plans. Like I said, it may not, you know, obviously these first 10 have all been movie-based, but have some ideas for some other episodes. So we'll start implementing those soon, but not today, because we wanted to talk about one of our favorite pornographic films of the 1980s, 1981 to be exact, Cecil Howard's Neon Nights.
And what a film to put on Blu-ray, because again, dude, there's just this humanity that exists in pornographic film of this era where you see everybody's polio vaccination scar. You see stretch marks on everybody's hips. You see moles that were not removed in various places.
Well, and I think
I mean,
what's great
everything.
In this one is, like, especially right away, you see a hand with red nail polish, and it just jumps off the screen.
Oh, it's electric red. And, you know, you think Neon Nights, and you think 80s, so you kind of think, like, fluorescent colors and things of that nature. This isn't that. This
right.
isn't that Neon Nights.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of very wild colors mm-hmm. and a lot of wild shots, but it's not necessarily
like school lunchbox, like
Nickelodeon
neon, like, because that era did exist, right? You know what I mean? Like that era did come into the 80s, and like maybe thinking about a porn in the 80s, you might be thinking that this is going to be fluorescent coated.
Yeah.
But it's really not. It's more the idea of like the nighttime neon signs, danger, people going on adventures in darkness.
Yes.
Type
loss of innocence.
In
that neon
night. Journey such it as sure that. Is. But yes, the colors are really, really bold, and I'm sure, you know, prior to the bursting onto the scene of fluorescence, this did feel just eye popping.
I mean, it is eye-popping. There's a lot of incredible shots, incredible scenes in this, and it just fits that world of porn we've been talking about a lot, along with Pandora's Mirror, along with Roommates and more. So just, I mean, right away from the cover, you got Candy Barber with just that incredible cover. She just looks amazing. And there's, how are you not going to want to watch this movie when you see that cover?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, but we burst onto the screen with Jamie Gillis in a fisting scene.
We burst, I mean, yeah. Jamie Gillis is, we were right away.
A lot of ingrown hairs.
He's fisting, but, right away.
You know, we got a full, like, meat-handed, rough.
Yeah.
Not rough in a rude way, but rough in a very manly way, you know?
It is.
He's just, like, gripping the ass cheeks. He's fisting. It's not fisting her ass. He's fisting her pussy.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, really, really getting in there in the way that only Jamie Gillis could.
Yeah, and then interspersed with this, we see our main girl in the bedroom.
Lisa Thatcher, I think her name is Sandy.
Yeah, and she's hearing what's going on, and the woman is her mom, and Jamie Gillis is her stepdad, and she's in that room next door hearing it, and it's getting turned on. And she's right away, man. She's great.
Oh, Lisa Thatcher?
Yeah.
Yeah. She's fantastic. She's, what, like 21?
Boy, she sure doesn't look like she's 21.
Sure don't look like she is, but yeah, she is. You know, she's just blessed with a sweet and innocent, youthful look.
Yeah.
But definitely just hearing what's going on in the next room. I love that she takes the red lipstick and starts, like, rubbing it across her nip.
Yeah.
And is just kind of wondering what it's going to be like for her one day, of course.
And this, she also takes the hairbrush in this part, right?
Oh, yeah. I think she also fucks her hairbrush.
It's so great.
Now, this film, although it's in the 80s, it does have the... Well, you know what? I think it is kind of a thing that evolves over time. Like, every generation has their version of incest porn, right?
Yeah, well, right.
So, like, the 70s were real literal about it. They would be, like, just straight up moms and dads and brothers and sisters and, like, kind of like Charles Manson-y.
The whole taboo series.
Like, cultish taboo series, kind of like, but really, like, kind of cult inspired, almost like everybody does it. But then you move into the 80s, and I think that, you know, with the divorce rate and the modern family, it's more of like a stepdad type of situation, or you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And then, you know, moving into the 90s, it's really like a blended family, stepsister.
Yeah, which
sort of incest, which is just
today.
Kind of all, you know, like everybody, young people of today all can relate because everybody has some blended family, step sibling, step cousin that, you know, has come into the family and now they're fair game. So I think that this is kind of the showing the evolution of the times.
I like it.
You know what I mean,
Mike?
There
you go.
Yeah, but then they twist, a little dark twist in
this
the end
one.
This one, okay, so. It has that incest evolution, but it also has a real brutal darkness at the end.
This is a very dark film, and that's something we like about a lot of this air porn. Apologies if anyone can hear the grinding going on outside. We can.
Yeah, I was really excited. You might not be able to hear. So everybody, I don't know. We realized that our fan could be heard when we were talking, when we finally heard ourselves without the fan. So we got a new fan so that you don't hear it, and ironically, now they're sawing and sanding outside. So we were trying to not offend
your
ears.
They're building the venue that they're going to then ship to New York.
Exactly.
For the undisclosed location.
That's right. Everybody in their own cage to keep everyone safe.
Yeah.
Keep them all safe. You get locked in a cage. Yeah. You watch the show from your cage. You can get a beverage from your little cage. And then nobody has any trouble with anybody. No fighting. No touching. No mosh pit.
Oh, none of that.
Any sort. I'll have none of
that.
We'll
have none of it.
Everybody will
be
fine.
Sitting.
Sit. Well, they'll be doing whatever they want in their own little cage. Should they be plexiglass cages or like?
I think should be shock cages, and they just like, and they get shocked if they do anything out of line.
Oh, like if they're on the floor, like the shock floors,
and they just do anything out of line. I go zzz.
Wear your rubber shoes, everybody.
Yes. Yes. So.
So we were talking about the dark nature.
Yes. This is a dark one
of this film.
One.
So you have a lot of elements. Like, so just to, like, you know, pull back and give a brief overview. It's the story of a a girl who has a sexual awakening by almost banging her mom's boyfriend or a possible stepdad.
Jamie Gillis.
And then she runs away to visit her
twin sister
yeah. who lives in New York. And she wants to get a ride with her friend, but her friend is too busy banging him, going on a sidetrack. So anyway,
yes.
she's on a journey.
She's on a journey to New York.
A young girl on a journey yes. who has not yet banged anybody. She nearly banged her stepdad, but he couldn't quite get it in because her mom caught him. And then she kind of goes around from sexual encounter to sexual encounter until she almost doing it, almost making it. And then until she gets to the pad where her sister is living as a probably a prostitute.
Well, you know, yes, but is it? I mean,
but wait, like
does she
art?
Have a twin?
Exactly. Does she have
is
a twin?
Is it just her the whole time?
Or is it just her the whole time?
And
is it her alter ego? Also, like, are they also models? Like,
no, it's
again,
great.
It's
There's
all
a lot.
Very. It's all very unclear. So that. Yeah. So that is the apex of the film when she comes into her own, merges with her twin sister, and we get a frenzied sex.
Phantasmagorical orgy.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's where we were all leading. But I think we should take it back to the bathroom that she is in and that Jamie Gillis finds her.
I can't handle this bathroom. It has this wonderful, like, the, you know, the gold
wallpaper
with the gold oil wallpaper of the 70s, which is like borderline like psychedelic, but this is gold and ivory. But then you can also tell that this bathroom was bonkers before it had that wallpaper, because the pink marble sink has like a gargoyle or dragon head where the water comes
it's
out
crazy.
And like talons. There's a bottle of aquabava.
Well, yes,
yeah,
so
aftershave.
You took a picture of the sink and searched what you thought the bottles were.
Yeah, yeah, I was really trying to look. It could be Yves Saint Laurent pour homme. It could have been. It's probably I think the spray cologne is some Emmanuel Ungaro cologne. I think it's Diva. But yeah, it was fantastic.
It could also be opium too.
It could
hard
also
to
be
tell.
Opium.
You couldn't
a favorite.
Figure it out, but the one you did figure out
definitely aquababa,
yes.
Which is like such a piece of time. It's that and Jovan Musk. I mean, that's all day
yeah,
long.
Jovan
that's...
Musk, Ted Bundy's scent. Of course,
yeah.
Once I found that out, you know, I got that.
Yeah, you can. There's a great thing if you just search like the contents of Ted Bundy's Beetle, Volkswagen Beetle. You can find everything that he had in his. Car when it was confiscated. So if you want to smell like Ted Bundy, you're gonna need that Jovan Musk.
You know
he had a lot of stuff in that. It's like he was living in it.
Well,
or he was just stealing a lot of stuff.
We'll eventually do a Ted Bundy episode and talk about Matthew Bright's Ted Bundy movie pretty soon for sure.
Oh, that would be fantastic. Yeah, hey, that's a good summer thing. I feel like Ted Bundy's a summer.
We'll do it in the summer.
A summer guy.
We'll do it in the summer.
You know what I mean?
Definitely. Well, definitely.
Yeah.
We'll do it.
He loves
the
beach. He likes. Getting out there in nature.
Yeah, just getting
you know,
out there.
Getting out there in nature.
I love it.
Loves looking pretty.
But, hey, you could also say the same thing about Jamie Gillis. Now, I love, you know, as in our roommates episode, we've been quoting Jamie a lot.
Oh, my God. This is not.
Shouldn't let him piss on you. This one, it's right up there. Just the way he does the, hey, is your pussy clean?
Oh, my God.
Did you clean it good?
The more
come here.
Jamie Gillis
come
we watch,
here.
It's just like we can't be around other people right
come
now
here.
Because like we're talking about Jamie. We're talking like Jamie Gillis now, and it's not good. Like it's just not like I feel like if somebody just like overheard us talking to each other like Jamie Gillis, hey, show me how you wash your pussy. Is your pussy clean? You shouldn't let him do that to you. Like just oh my God, we're such scumbags. Like I really like cannot imagine what somebody eavesdropping on our conversations lately.
I cannot imagine recording a conversation and sending it out into the world.
I want to make sure you do it right.
So good.
She has a pink. So her whatever stepdad, whatever mom's lover, mom's paramour meets young Lisa.
Let's call her Lisa.
It's easier. Yeah, I kind of think of her as Alice too, because it's kind of very Alice.
A little bit,
Wonderland-y.
Yeah, but it's But we'll just call her Lisa.
Kind of creeps up on her when she's starting to take a bath in the bathroom, and then wants to kiss it and wants to look at it. He says he won't. He says he won't look at it if she doesn't want him to. I won't look. Here, I'm down here. I won't look. And it's so, like, again, it is. It's too real.
It's the best.
Oh my God! It's
the best
so earnest
thing of. obviously he's going to do everything he says he's not going to do, but just keeps coercing. I love it.
Coercion is kind of it. I love it. I'm not going to look at it. You can cover it up. I'm not going to look at it. I'm just going to give a little kiss. Like, just, she's like, oh, just kisses. And he's like, just kisses. She's like, hey, that's not kisses. Yeah. And he's like, oh, no. I'm not going to do anything you want me to do. Okay. Hey, let's show me how you wash your
face. Yeah.
Oh my God. And it's so good. It's like, it's chilling. So again, only one person.
Yeah.
Could pull that scene off, and that would be Jamie Gillis. But what an insane scene! And then he's like rubbing the tip on it, and then
interrupted. That must have been frustrating
with electric nails.
That must have been so frustrating. You know, I feel especially in this era. You know, a lot. You know, scenes were in there to further the movie a lot of times, so it didn't necessarily mean you got to bang.
It's
got to be so annoying.
You're saying that Jamie Gillis was fine. I had to get all rock hard and then do all this stuff, and now what? Hey, who knows? We don't know what their shoot schedule was like, Mike.
Maybe
it
could have
been gone right
up
into something else. Yeah. Who knows? You know what I mean? I don't know. Let's ask him. So then, caught by mom. So then we cut to Bonnie, the best friend,
AKA
Candy Barber.
You know it. I love her in her tennis outfit.
She's hot as a firecracker. And that's what she says about herself. And I do not disagree. She is trading her boyfriend's older brother something for tennis lessons. So she's having tennis lessons with her little white panties. And she really, really is absolutely trying to seduce this man.
Oh, yeah. It's great.
And she does. And
yeah.
Holy shit. Like, again, the Blu-ray-ness really highlights tan lines. This man's tan.
He's got some tan lines. Eric Edwards, though, takes the prize.
Eric Edwards does take the tan prize. Yeah, but his tan prize is so much different because, like, his tan is so impressive because the Speedos that he was wearing to tan just perfectly cover up where all his pubes are. So it looks like you couldn't have it more perfect, like the way that tan line lays. This guy just seems like somebody who, like, it's that tan you could only have back then. Like, now you only see this tan on people who walk around with their shirt off on Hollywood Boulevard all day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's that level of tan.
Yeah.
Like, deeply cooked roast turkey tan.
Yeah.
But holy shit, that guy's a maniac. He's got a mustache. He tries to say he's not going to bang Candy Barber, that he's really going to go pick up his grandmother
at the train station.
And we're like, who the fuck are you, dude? Grandma can wait.
Yeah.
And she does.
Candy Barber ready to go to town, ready to go down. And go down she does. The scene is great. I love that starts it in the car, moves along right back into the living room. But yeah, her best friend Lisa wants to come over because she wants to get away to New York.
She does, but she told her friend to wait an hour because she wanted an hour.
She's like, look.
And that's fine. And then they do meet up. But Candy Barber can't be said enough. Her nipples are insane.
Yeah.
I mean, like, in a t-shirt, it's fantastic. In the pool, because they're harder, like, they look like you forget, and then you see them, and it's just really, it's something to behold.
It sure is.
It's something that you won't see now, and I do lament that a little bit. I do lament that a little bit, because she's so fantastic. Now
the scene is great, and our heroine shows up, but also, since it is her best friend, her mom must have realized that if she's going to run away, she might be running away to that house. So she sees her mom and she just hightails it out of there.
So then she has to go sit on the curb, so sad, in her cute, like, cottagecore dress, hoping that somebody will pick her up. And you know what? Somebody does. And then
somebody does. Now we start getting into the strangeness of this movie.
Well, I mean, the opening fisting scene does provide some strangeness. I mean, you know, how many things open with the fist?
Just like, let's get it going.
Yeah. 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 Open with that. And then some, like, low-key incest or whatever. I don't know. Whatever. Whatever you call that when they take advantage of a minor or something like that.
Yeah.
So that. That
we use the word coercion.
I keep saying coercion.
Coercion. It's a terrible
mishandling
word.
Of a minor. I don't know. So
I was about to say, great name for the episode.
I don't know about that. But But, you know, this is all fantasy, and there's proof that this is all fantasy, because next, VW van or whatever type of fucking van this is pulls over, and a magician comes out, Harlan the Magician. And how do we know he's a magician? Because he performs magic. Like, and I'm not talking magic tricks.
Our kind of real magic.
It's not an illusion,
makes
Mikey.
Things appear, makes a flower appear. Makes,
a rose.
Makes her suitcase magically move into the van on its own.
Yeah. She forgets her suitcase on the curb after she jumps in. He's like, she's going to New York. He's going to New York. He can take her there. I forgot my suitcase on the curb, which really did stress me out the first time we watched this. And watching it again, it stressed me out. I was like, her suitcase.
And I was like, I remember
curb.
What happens. Don't worry.
And then it just kind of waddles in stop motion style. But I do agree with, I think I was in a good mood when we watched this.
We were in a great mood. We're watching Neon Knights, which is just such a, always puts us in a good mood. But. We were in a good mood. It was a
Harlan
fun night.
The Magician dresses like a hoe. And you know what? I think that that's incredibly accurate. Harlan has like low slung denim, a glittery torn vest sweater thing, mutton chops. But he is that type of man who's like, I'm a pretty man. You know, he dresses much like a hoe. And then he brings sweet Lisa, you know, they don't want to start immediately after he makes her miss her bus for New York. They don't want to start immediately on the road. They want to go to sleep for the night. So he brings her back to his place and
the motel.
He offers to let her sleep with his lady, who is a magician's assistant. She dresses like a magician's assistant. And I think if you are a magician's assistant, you should only dress like that. You should wear glittery bathing suits with fishnet stockings,
garters,
high heeled, like, tap shoes, maybe like a feather in your hair or two, and like little like tassels and such.
And you should be great at sucking cock, which she is.
Yeah, she is. And so, Lisa, would you like to sleep in the bed? No, thanks. I'll sleep over here in the other bed. But the assistant assists in many ways in the stage performance, but also, Mike, what's she excited about?
She is excited about what our magician man is going to do.
Because she's like, I love it when you bring somebody home. Thank you so much. This is going to be great fun. And Mike, do they in any way say, this is great fun, you want to go along with this, Lisa? No.
I mean, you know.
When you're a magician, when you're like a
literal. You're going to make it happen.
When you're a literal wizard, like, consent is implied.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's going to happen.
You can't be hypnotized, magically stripped. Floated,
levitated
and floated through the air over to masturbate on a side chair unless you consent.
Let's be clear. There is levitation in this scene.
There's magical stripping.
Yes.
There's levitation. There's deep hypnosis. There's
possession.
Telepathy.
And this possession.
This is like Carrie. You know?
Yeah, I love this scene. I think this is Lisa's best. This is my favorite scene of hers in the movie, because she's sitting on the chair and masturbating while they bang, and he's telepathically talking to her, saying, you're going to feel what she feels.
We're going to give you a real good time. And he's covered in oil. This man is oiled down. It reminded me of like when in the 80s when I'd go to the pool with my older cousin and she would wear that tanning oil.
Like not suntan lotion. Not like SPF.
And it was brown.
Yeah, it's so and weird it would, people used to do
would,
that.
She would put it all over her and it was brown. Look, everybody, you wonderful people, my family tans. I do not. But everybody in my family, they're so gorgeously tan like turkeys. I am freckly and pale, and Mike is my kind. Freckle and pale as well. So I can't douse myself in a gorgeous brown oil like Harlan and my cousin. But man, what a wonderful scene. Then the scene is just like, another standout that I realized during this scene is in many incidental sounds, Foley art of pornography, you get kind of slapping and moans, extra moans added where there aren't moans. I find that their go-to is sucking sounds.
Yes.
There's so many superfluous sucking sounds. Like, everything's like...
Right.
Like, you get that, like, constantly. In every scene, it's just the sound of sucking. Even when no one's sucking on anything, you get the sound of sucking. So, this is a real Sucking.
The Sound of Sucking. Maybe that's the...
The Sound of Sucking. Yeah. Hey, that's a pretty good title. The Sound of Sucking. But really a lot of sounds of sucking. And then telepathic coming, coordinated, just talk me offs on this scene.
And then...
It's great.
She comes out of that trance with nothing to be found.
And everything. But and I wish they hadn't disappeared so quickly, because as soon as she wakes up, no one's there. Whatever happened. But the magician's assistant's clit, I really wish I had seen it.
You said it was, yeah.
It's like, it was kind of like China's, you know? But it wasn't as China as China's. But it was pretty, I think, I have a hunch. But we never get a real good look at it. But I think.
It's pretty big.
Impressive. Big. Impressive even. So. Well,
she just gets to New York at this point, right? Now, or does she? I can't.
Oh, yeah. And then you forgot about the lighting, the filmmanship.
Oh, no. This is where the. Oh, yes. This is the scene.
We're discussing this as a film, Michael.
This is the scene where the lighting gets wild, gets similar to how it is in Our Place at night. Multicolors moving around.
Mm. Yeah. Lisa's sitting in the chair by herself watching. And she's, I mean, again, she's enjoying it. She's smiling. She's happy. She's into it. She's, but they give her that red spot and the pink spot, like left and right, red and pink.
Yeah.
So she's got this like real rosy glow about her. And then with blonde hair, it's just so stunning. But really the lighting is just, again, eye popping.
Yeah.
The colors are really cool. And just to see that in this sort of film is very exciting. And then giving that supernatural feeling, because also like, you know, sometimes like encounters of a sexual nature might feel like something surreal, like something supernatural,
yes,
like something
yes,
else
yes.
is happening. And maybe somebody does feel like they're connecting telepathically, even though they, you know, aren't as literal as this film.
No, I think so. Yeah. And I think it really gets to it what it can be like. And yeah, this scene especially, you know, we've had the old DVD, but this is where the Blu-ray comes into play. It was like, oh yeah, you need this. It just, everything is just popping and it just looks unreal because it is unreal.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I do, and now if I'm not mistaken, you have the notes. Does she just sort of end up in New York next?
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
like, hitches, she's in New York now.
She hitches
made it.
To New York. She made it.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. This, she hitches and there's nothing happens.
Yeah, nothing else. That's right, note happens. And then she just walks by F.A.O. Schwartz.
So cool. I remember going there as a kid when we visited New York.
Oh, that's so cute. I never visited New York as a kid. That's cute.
There's she walks by a burger place that looked really good. I'm like, oh, I want a burger.
Oh, yeah,
from there.
It did. Yeah, the movie Big made me want to go to F.A.O. Schwartz. I do.
But we got burgers lined up in a few days, Tara.
Oh,
we a few days.
I was like, today?
Nope. A few days.
Oh, that's right. We do. Are we? We're having burgers. We're chicken.
Yeah. Well, you just
okay. We'll see.
Yeah.
Okay. So, we get to hear the titular tune, "Neon Nights in the City."
Yeah, you
as
know,
she's walking through Central Park.
Now I'm so scarred from getting flagged for putting the Bang Tango song on.
You go it under a certain limit, you can do 10 seconds.
No, it says that's not even a thing. There's like a bunch of different weird rules.
What's the rule?
They make it as unclear as possible. So I'm just for the time being not putting.
Just gonna shy away from doing it.
Even though I assume the Neon Night song
is
not
copyrighted by whoever that lady is.
Yeah.
Well, I'll look it up too and see. Well, people do it all the time though. How do they do
those
podcasts with
just
music
and
shit
in
them? I don't know. Well, hey, listeners.
It was only
on
Spotify.
If you know the rules. Yeah, I was just
But I did take it off all of it.
And it's like, how fucking dare you, Spotify? Like, they pay people nothing for having their shit on there against their will.
I mean, listen.
And then they, like, all of a sudden demand that you take it down? Like, give me a fucking
listen,
break.
Obviously, wherever you want to listen. But personally, we just do it. We prefer iTunes. So, you know, I would say, you know, if I end up putting music on episodes, I would.
Because we haven't gotten flagged on iTunes.
Yeah, I mean, I just took it off all of it, but
yeah.
You know.
Okay.
Anyway.
Well, anyway, I digress. But if you know anything about it, hit us up. Tara at noiseextra.com, Mike at noiseextra.com, or wherever you find us. Maybe in real life. Approach me.
At the
Say
Mermaid,
hi.
Monday night.
Introduce yourself at the Mermaid. Perfect time. Wait till I'm like 3 drinks in. Then that'll be a ride. So here we go. Neon Nights in the City, walking through Central Park. We get a crazy failed balloon handoff, which is a foreshadowing
great,
to the insanity
great
to come.
Our Arcadia Lake, great. She's so great. And,
oh, she's amazing.
Great little scene. Great little strange scene.
Well, but then we also, and also I think that this makes me realize that all balloons should have tiny little bows at the bottom of them. That is so flippin' cute. Love it. Adorable. I am anti-balloon, as everybody knows. Maybe we'll talk about that again, but probably won't. I'm just anti-balloon. So if you're going to have a balloon, put a bow on it, and I might hate it less. Veronica Hart comes in next, and boy, are we excited to see her. And she's doing that wonderful thing. Like, she's in a fantastic place. Tile work, like a real estate agent's dream, this tile work. But she does that classic move where she never gets her makeup wet. She got a little cap on, but she really soaps the shit out of everything else. She's gets soap, lathered, soaping shower, Mike.
Veronica Hart has classic. Been in the majority of the porn movies we've discussed over here, and this is then the second film where we see Veronica Hart taking a very involved shower.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we know she's clean.
No worries about that. But we do have a little joke. And again, that's like the fun part about good old Cecil Howard injecting fun into the film. So then her lover comes in and is like wearing a crazy wig and like does a little fake psycho scene and scares her. And you get that little playful element.
You sure do. And now we got Eric Edwards here.
Eric Edwards.
Ready to rock.
Goes out while she's finishing up, goes into her purse, steals all her dough, sticks it in his pocket like a scumbag.
Yeah.
And then
he's laying on the couch, like, hey, I got something for you over here.
Hey, I got something for you over here. Yeah. He's not very, like, I would say he's the most scumbaggy of all the scumbags.
In the movie, in this film. But definitely he's, having heard his interview on Rialto Report, which is great, and then hearing...
and what everybody says
talk
about
him, saying he's like literally maybe the nicest guy from this era.
Yeah.
Him and Mike Horner are always kind of talked about as being just like the nicest, easiest to work with guys.
Well, his character certainly isn't.
The snowman.
The snowman is a real piece of shit. But who cares? Because Rhonda likes him. And Rhonda is Veronica Hart. And she is wearing this thing that I love. She's wearing a bed jacket. Mike, do you know what a bed jacket is?
I mean, I do now.
It's the short jacket. You wear it in bed, so it's not long, so you're not, like, sitting on it. So, like, when you have a gorgeous, like, teddy and a nightgown on, and then you just, it's just for your upper half. It's nice. A bed jacket.
It sounds like something you would like.
Yeah.
Because, like, when you turn, you don't get stuck.
Yeah, you don't get all wrapped up. Yeah. Maybe somebody else lays on your kimono in your sleep. But that's okay.
It happens.
And that's a hazard. But that's why you have the kimonos that are just for sleeping, so that you can rip them up. It's fine.
It's fine.
Yeah, whatever. And she's wearing a little teddy romper. It's lovely. And then we get Veronica Hart's gorgeous personality. And she's like, that's what I love about you. You're murder. Absolute death. Like, her delivery is so thespianic. Is that a word?
Yeah, it is now.
It's very thespianic.
It is now.
In her delivery. And holy shit, I love it. She's just got herself a private fucking machine. And he's got insane tan lines, but I guess that stands to reason because he is her boy toy.
Great scene. This is definitely this is probably my favorite of the sex scenes in the movie, I would say. I mean, the final thing is pretty great, but you know, this is just like it's just in it, and I like it.
No, yeah, it's a good, clean, like great Veronica Hart sex scene.
Good, clean. Oh, we know she's clean.
Yeah, we know she's clean. I do spy some like weird like knockoff or true like Madame Alexander dolls that are all painted off in the distance.
Yeah, oh, it's the dolls are great.
No, I love a doll. If I'm gonna see some they don't even need to be strange dolls. I don't require the dolls to be strange. They can be just normal dolls. Love them. Love them when they're just hanging out on the beds, like on the bedside, on the nightstand, like wherever. Love them.
I like when he blasts on
it's
her
so
and
weird.
He takes the doll and like. The doll's hand and gets a little to give to her. I like that.
Give her a little bit.
Yeah,
it's
a little
so
for
sweet.
You.
Sweet, aren't they so sweet?
Yeah, this is great.
Yes, and let's see here. Oh, then we get snowman. Snow. Mr. Snow. Snow has a job to do. Rhonda assigns him. Veronica Hart. I'm just gonna use her real name because it's easier. Veronica Hart gives him a job because you know if he's gonna earn that dough that he stole from her, he needs to do it.
Yeah.
He has to deliver. A case to
Mr. I think it's like Mr. Pierce. Wasn't it Mr. something?
I don't know who he is. She has to deliver a case to a guy, right?
Yeah.
So he's on his errand. He doesn't want to do this errand, but he is financially obligated to do his errand. So
right before he gets that errand, though, is when our heroine shows up at the place, and we do realize that Veronica Hart is a madam. Mm-hmm. And that they're like, oh my God, it's Denise. And it's like, no, I'm Sandy. So it's like, this is where the twin sister comes in. And again, to be clear, nothing ever gets cleared up. It's all stays in this mysterious... Yeah,
nobody's ever like, there are two ladies. She didn't imagine all of this. She hasn't been here the whole time. Like, nothing's ever cleared up. It's only obfuscated further. But we do get more scenes. And the next scene to an artist mansion or whoever that guy is. I forget his name. Mr. Murder? Mr. Murmur? Mr. Machine? Don't remember.
But this doesn't is a great matter. One. I know you love this scene a lot.
I do love this scene because it's purposefully, it's supposed to be, why am I at a loss for words? Like avant-garde. Like she's like a, so we cut into
Arcadia Lake.
Arcadia Lake being an avant-garde artiste. And she is in a peignoir with baby blue with opaque white thigh highs and a garter belt that does not match in any way. It's red and black, but
you works. Really liked her fingernails.
Really love her fingernails. Like, I like her whole vibe. I like her. No problems here. Just she's kind of wearing just like baby doll sleaze while painting a giant cock and acting strange.
Very strange.
And very, but it's very much that kind of like beatnik avant-garde, like, you know, we know all the deranged and true sexual deviants, you know, engage in this sort of activity. Like when you would think about going to a beatnik pad and they just have like free love and painting parties where they just roll around and paint and have sex and make art. It's this type of vibe.
Black Room.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Just like Black Room. So again, it was a trope and I will not tire of it. And this is no exception. She has that gorgeous straight black hair with the bangs, again the beatnik style, and you know, Snow actually has heard about her. He's gotta wait to make his delivery, but he's heard about her before and he knows what she likes. And I think he says, she starts pulling out his member and he says, you can either fuck it or suck it. And so I think she chose paint it.
Yeah, paint it and then do both.
And then do both.
Yeah, and you know what, that's the kind of girl we here at Underground Espionage like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. That is, so then that scene kind of reaches its fever pitch. The man comes home, gets his package.
The man being Jamie Gillis. And now here's this is also in the point where, no, it's totally unclear if the people are the same people. There's a bunch of now going to be some strange transference of people, the actors. This is when we really start morphing into this final phantasmagorical section.
Yeah, I mean, because we get the kind of fever pitch of what happens, and there aren't really explanations. It's just that Veronica Hart finally prepares Lisa for her big encounter, and they go into like a weird black room with mirrors and a silver bed, and it's very surreal.
And this
it's
is,
very, like, Eyes Wide Shut.
This is definitely also what makes grabbing this on Blu-ray just essential is this section here. Because it is so visually mm-hmm. just, it's dark, it's strange.
Yeah.
And
it's scary, but yeah, it's sexy.
Yeah, because Veronica Hart, she comes in, she's got this crazy makeup on. Jamie
Again,
Gillis
she's
is,
got the, like, Eyes Wide Shut type of mask, but then face paint. And then it's a time when... Like, I think it died down for a while, but maybe it's coming back. Like, corsets were, like, a sex thing. You know what I mean, Mike? Like,
oh, yeah, definitely.
Like, it was like, you go to a sex shop and there's a bunch of corsets.
I mean,
but
still
I think it,
could.
I mean, you still could, but it died down a little bit. Because people
maybe.
Were, like, not into the corset. They looked dated. It was a thing. But this is, like, full on, I'm wearing a corset. That means, like...
It's on.
It's sex time.
Jamie Gillis is standing at the top of the stairs in all black, black leather jacket, black sunglasses, just kind of presiding over the proceedings.
Yeah.
And then we get this strange, surreal orgy that begins. Veronica Hart's fucking her with a double dong.
Yeah, big squishy one.
Yeah.
And then you also get like Jamie Gillis's body. I'm like, that's not Jamie Gillis's body. This man has no hair. And I'm like, I'm so confused. Is he using a body double? What's going on?
But... Tara, your observation was spot on because we start getting this transference of people. is it Jamie Gillis or is it this other guy that we haven't seen the entire time all of a sudden?
And then it starts, and both guys kind of vaguely look like Lou Reed. But Jamie Gillis I do find to be much more handsome than Lou Reed. So then the avant artist brings in a hand mirror, and all of a sudden she holds it up and she sees a stranger's face behind her. And we cut to a letter. And it was a letter from Daddy.
Yep.
To Lisa.
You know
and,
it.
And as I'll just read what I wrote.
Go for it.
Holy shit, it was an incest thing this whole time? Wow. And it's also very Lana coded because it says, all my love forever, Daddy. but it's just the whole thing about her chasing daddy figures because her daddy may have had a weird incestual relationship with her. I don't understand the ending. I'm not going to overanalyze it. I'm not going to overthink it.
Yeah, I mean,
because I don't think they thought through it the entire way, and I don't think they overanalyzed it.
I know it's not supposed to be, you know, there's not supposed to be an answer. Having heard Cesar talk about this movie, it's up to the viewer.
It wasn't supposed to be like a rape thing.
It's just
supposed
to
be a strange twist that they added at the end to.
Well,
maybe
the whole thing. Yeah. The whole thing is supposed to be this surreal, I keep saying phantasmagorical.
Mm-hmm. Journey of a girl's sexual awakening.
It really is, and it does it great. And again, Lisa's great in this last scene. She's so fucking hot. It's
oh,
awesome.
She's cool.
She's hot the whole movie.
Yeah, she's amazing.
And
she just kind of has a sweetness about her.
Yeah, definitely. And I love how it just fully, the actual final scene of the movie is Jamie Gillis coming back in the bathroom and she's being like, shh, let's not tell your mom. And
let's
then
not
just
tell
freeze
your mom.
Frames
yeah,
on
it's
him.
So good.
Look, Neon Knights is just a great, great film and one that we love. And we knew that we were going to talk about it over here. And, you know, I feel like episode 10, it's like a nice number. We're just in our stride right now.
And did I like, I don't think I ruined a twist ending because, again, it doesn't necessarily even make sense. But also it does make you want to watch it again thinking about that. So,
yeah.
So now you can watch it knowing what you know.
Well, and, you know, with just this, I don't know when the whole like no spoilers or spoilers or whatever, when that thing started becoming mm-hmm. such a thing, but I'm more or less like don't really care. And yep. honestly, like we will listen to a podcast about a movie and get spoiled all the time and then go watch it. And,
but it's like, different when you're in it. It's like you forget.
And Tara, I know you say sometimes it just makes you relax
yeah.
and watch the movie. I mean, sometimes I do think that there are some movies that I think benefit from, or at least I enjoy when someone gets that surprise. Sleepaway Camp being, you know, to me the
yeah,
main
I won't
one where
spoil
I would
Sleepaway
want
Camp.
If someone hasn't
yeah.
seen Sleepaway Camp, I would really encourage them to watch it without getting spoiled. But overall, like I yeah. just don't really care.
Yeah, no.
You know what I mean? Like it's yeah. just I guess with the giallo, it's fun to get surprised. But honestly, too with giallo, like we'll, as we said
but
a million times, we forget
time.
All the time.
Yeah, like you watch it again and you forget. Like somebody tells you, and then you forget all over again.
Yeah,
yeah
or we'll watch it and forget.
Yeah, exactly.
Like I'm just thinking right now. I was just a few giallo went through my head, like Torso. I can't remember who the killer is. We've watched it a million times.
I was just like, but it's also fun.
I'll always remember Deep Red because that was one of the first giallo we ever saw. So we'll always remember
yeah,
Deep Red.
Yeah, I remember Deep Red. But you know what's crazy is like, I'm like fretting about spoiling a porn.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think it's, you know what, Tara, I think.
Everybody comes.
Yeah, that's true.
Guess what?
It's true. And that's really what it's all about. Everyone coming. Coming and coming again.
Yeah. I'm getting weird with it and just to have it be, it's a fantasy.
This is,
you know
what
I mean?
We,
it's not a documentary. Well, it is a documentary because
it
actually happened. They all had sex.
If there's anything to take away from Underground Espionage, it's that coming and coming again. Look, that's our stance in life.
That's what it happens.
That's our stance in life. You know, there's so much distraction in life. People have all these opinions and all these things
arguing
they want
about silk.
They want to argue and they want
caterpillar rights.
They want to go ahead and just post it on the internet. But us here, we just say, you know what? Fuck all that. Just come. That's it. That's all we want.
That's all anybody.
And watch Neon Knights and watch all the stuff we've talked about here and so many more movies, you know, that we have lined up to talk about in the world of pornography as well as outside mm-hmm. the world and as well as, just some other topics, some other ideas that we've had that we want to talk about.
Yeah, and this is a joy, too, because, like, it's a movie. It's a film. It takes you on a journey. It tells a story. It makes you think about things.
Yeah.
In different ways. It makes you think about not just, like, Candy Barber's nipples. Not just about, like, pubes of the ages and different sexual styles through the decades. But, you know, maybe about your own sexual awakening. Maybe about different journey. Maybe about wizards.
Yeah.
All kinds of stuff.
I don't have anything lined up for next episode, but as always, stay tuned and we'll post up, you know, our little prepare for posts so mm-hmm. you know what we do as long as we have it planned. And hey, in the meantime, go get your tickets for Hospital Fest 2025, New York, October 11th. Undisclosed location. I love it. I love that. I think that's...
Reserve your cage today.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Well, Tara, any final words before we continue on with our day?
Thank you for being here with us.
Absolutely. We really appreciate it. We're having a lot of fun. We love all the feedback. It's been great.
Mm-hmm.
And we really appreciate you guys sticking with us over in this new series of ours that we will be back week in and week out.
And now you should end it so I can go cough.
Let's do it. All right, everyone. Talk to you next week.